Can you hear me? Do you remember that song?
I know like a cover.
Can you hear me running?
Can you hear me running?
Can you hear me calling you? All right, we rolling?
Yeah.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Tyler's here with me. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing good. This is the first episode I'm on that's going to release, I think.
Is that true?
Yeah, we've recorded like three, and those are all 4 years in the future.
That's true. But this could air very soon.
Yeah.
This is a great episode. Zach Levi is on the show. Shazam, it's everywhere. It's making hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm telling you, if you guys, anybody out there ever has doubted themselves, ever had no self-worth or depressed or anxious or just a human being, if you haven't, you're actually a super person. You know, hearing him speak about his life and his experience and how he's grown as a person, just, it blows me away. I feel like I can't stop listening, where I'm like, I forget I'm in an interview. I'm like, I'm at a seminar that I'm really interested in, that I'm just trying to get to be a better person. And he's been through so fucking much. Anyway, Zach Levi, he's on the show. I'll be in some conventions. I'll be in Orlando and Dallas and Calgary, a bunch of conventions. So look on Twitter and Instagram and all that. Thanks for listening and subscribing. That's really all I have to say. Do you want to say anything, Tyler?
Yeah, I forgot to say it on the episode, actually. My mom, foster parent, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, was asking me, like, hey, what's in theaters that I should go see? And then when Shazam came out, I was like, fuck yeah, it's that movie.
Fuck yeah?
I like texted her. I was like, it's this one. I saw it and I was like, hey, guess what?
It really is.
It's great.
It's touching. It's sweet. Zach's a knockout. He's so funny. He's so charming. It makes me want to work out religiously. He's awesome. And you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to have him ride on a fat scooter.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of dark out, though.
It's
kind of
dark, but I got a light on the fat scooter. Anyway, I'll do that next time. But let's get inside Zach Levi. It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience. Zach Levi's taking a piss, and he'll be with us here in just a moment.
I think he actually said it was a shit.
Nah.
I think he was bragging about it.
Superheroes don't shit, man. But supervillains do.
They just can't shit in the suit.
Yeah, those headphones, put those on.
And I'm going to put them on. Just give me a second. I'm just sitting down those of you listening at home.
Yeah, he's very loud, by the way, at least in my headphones. Hey.
That's the pot calling the kettle black, Rosie.
I'm loud. I am a loud fucker.
He's a loud guy.
Hey, take a drink of that. Tell me what you think.
Take a drink of that.
It's a sparkling drink with some, is it good?
Oh, so tasty.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. It wasn't too much tequila.
Hornitos tequila. With some, what is this stuff? Izzy?
Hornitos.
The horniest of tequilas.
Can you speak Spanish?
Un poquito.
That means very little.
A little. Well, yeah. It means a little, not very little.
I know.
Muy poquito would be very,
very little.
So I know enough to know what very little means.
Bienvenidos a los Estados Unidos.
Yeah, welcome to the United States.
Me llamo es Miguel.
Your name is Miguel?
Me too. Yo tengo grande cabeza. Means I have a big head.
You do.
Yeah. Thanks. Do I have a large head?
No, you don't have a large head. Yeah. I was making an ego joke, you see.
So you know what's funny is, I might have to have a little surgery, another surgery on my neck.
What?
They put an artificial disc in it. It didn't do well. But the good thing is
no.
Yeah. So I said, fuck it. I can't work for a couple months. So I went to the hairstylist today.
Dude, you went for the shave, bro.
Well, I just shaved it. I just trimmed it, like a little buzz cut.
I mean, that's a shave. You didn't shave. You didn't use Smallville it, but you.
I didn't Smallville it, but I.
You what was that?
Quasi-Luthered?
the Happy Luther? The Luth? You got the Luth.
I did the Lutha.
You Luth.
The Lutha.
No, what is that? Jarhead. You jarheaded it.
Did I jarheaded it? This is a real treat you come in, and I thought for sure, I was like, man, he's got Shazam press. You're all over the place. You were on Colbert the other night.
Yeah,
you're like,
man.
I mean,
it's been amazing.
Is it just a dream? Look, you've
it's
done
all
the press.
Dream. Well, I've it done was the press. Oh, you mean with other stuff?
It was
mean?
All a dream.
It was all a dream. I don't know. I wish I knew Biggie better.
We should know that.
We should.
Yeah.
look, I've done considerable amounts of press in various jobs that I've had in the past, but in somewhat different ways. Somebody recently asked me, they were like, you know, are you wrecked, or like what was the most surprising part of the whole press tour? And the truth is, none of it was really a surprise, in that I've done all the pieces of it. I just have never done all of those pieces, the magnitude of it. Exactly. Right. So to go on like a 5-week national, then international press tour.
Where did you go?
We started in Los Angeles on March 3rd, and then basically every 3 to 4 days we changed cities, and the order went L.A., Miami, Chicago, Toronto, New York, London, L.A., Beijing, L.A., Mexico City, New York.
Private jet?
No. Just
wait a minute. D.C. didn't give you a private jet?
No. Well, I mean, I'm not there. Why should I? I'm not there, man.
You know why? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe other people get private jets, but that's... Look, here's the thing. The movie's out right now and it's doing very well. I still live in reasonable anonymity. I'm not getting popped and stopped at every street corner.
Well, you live in Texas, buddy.
I haven't even been home.
That's anonymity. I mean, you're
living on 75 acres of God's green earth,
dude,
everybody.
I'll tell you, I went and saw this movie. Now, I saw, you know, here's the thing with me. You know me. I know people think, what? They're going to say what? But I've never been a huge superhero fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many of them, and it's like every hour there's a new one.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of it now.
There's a lot, very
saturated,
and it's hard to say that because I was a super villain, but I, you know, and I had a blast.
Well, you were a villain. I don't know how super you were.
Yeah, I wasn't that super, but I saw it occasionally. I'll see one from my friend if my friends are going to go figure. So I was there like within 2 nights. I went to see it because I support
my friend. You sent me a text and said, "Bro, I got 20 people. We're all going to see it."
Bro.
Literally meant the world to me. It means the world. And by the way, for everybody out there that's listening, obviously you're listening because this man has literally created such an incredible, genuinely incredible podcast, incredible opportunity for people to be real and talk, and specifically in our business, and talk about things that I think are very important that help to, particularly when it comes to mental health and destigmatizing and on all that jazz. But what I don't know if everybody knows the hospitality. Part of the reason why I think this show works, honestly, is because you're a very hospitable host. You're somebody who genuinely loves people and cares about people.
That's true.
And you also go out of your way and use your resource and energy to go and support people and believe in people.
Of course,
so the fact that you wrangled, you know, because I've been on your emails sometimes, they're like, hey, we're watching the game, or we're having a hangout or whatever, and I'm very much like that too. I love community, I love all that stuff, but that you go out of your way to essentially organize a 20 person strong group to go see my movie.
It wasn't hard to get them to see it, I'll be honest with you.
Well, that's great.
People love these movies. And I told you this in the text. Like, you know, it sucks because, like, if your friend sucks in a movie or the movie sucks, you're kind of like, fuck. You can't tell him that. So you're like, dude, hey, great job.
Yeah.
I'm really tough. Like, I can't be, like, I love you, Zach, but if I hated it and I just didn't think it was great, or I would find a way to be nice, but I wouldn't go out of my way to be nice. Hey, Tyler's here with us, and you know what's great is Tyler, we just had a malfunction that you guys didn't hear because, of master editing.
Literally just snipped that right out of there.
But
it was like time travel.
I mean, just a little restart, a little pokey poke.
It literally was, the solution was the thing that all troubleshooting starts with, was, have you turned it off and then turned it on again?
Tyler, you were a little freaked out because you're like, well, I'm used to this other device.
Right.
What's it called?
A Zoom.
The Zoom.
The Zoom. No one cares, but I just said it anyway.
Right.
So he was going to use the
People
Zoom.
Care, Rose, I'm just because you don't care.
Well,
there's 5 audio engineers out there that care.
There you go.
This will also be edited.
Oh, this better stay. This better stay.
Anyway, I was getting at, look, I went to see, you were very nice, kind in saying that, you know, I'm hospitable and I'm...
You're very hospitable, and you're an incredibly big-hearted host who likes to gather people.
Always,
you were doing this back at bowling nights when I didn't even know you but met you and was friends with Ali Hillis and all that jazz. Like, you've always been that kind of guy.
But I think that's a problem with me.
It's only a problem if it's affecting the other areas of your life in their growth.
Explain to me, because see, already we're gonna get deep, because I see there's a sparkle in your eye or something where you're like, only if it's affecting parts of my life.
No, only if it's affecting the growth positive upward growth. I don't know.
Well, I think that sometimes when you waste a lot of time on, I'm not going to say use the word waste, but when you devote a lot of your time to making other people happy, to fulfilling their days, to not taking care of yourself as much as you should,
sure,
to that can be a problem.
But that's what I'm saying. You were neglecting
that's
your health.
That's what I got from what you said.
Yes, exactly.
And I do neglect my health.
Yeah, which you should not do. We all, here's one of the
because it's guilt.
Things
I have guilt.
Wait, you have guilt about what?
You know, it's like, you know, I got to go see my grandmother. I got to go see my mom. I got to help her out. I got to go help this person. Okay. I don't always have to do things and
you
help
don't.
People.
You don't have to do any of those things.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. Let me just preface all the things that anyone's about to hear in this podcast is these are all my opinions, my thoughts. These are things that I've come to form over 38 years of life and tons of therapy and reading various books and having so many different conversations with very interesting
and that's
people.
Why I know you had an answer for it. I have felt this opinion of yours coming, which I look forward to hearing.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, that's why I like this podcast, because you're getting inside of me again.
You're getting inside of me.
I know. Well, by the way, and we did talk about this, like we were going to flip the script on this because I really want to get in. I want to get inside of
the next time you come over.
Oh, the third time I get to interview you?
The third time.
Okay.
You know, I don't think I want anybody like Tom Welling came over and he interviewed me. We kind of interviewed each other a little bit,
sure.
But it wasn't the same. I am telling you right now, the next time you come over, whether it's 6 months from now or what, you're going to interview me.
Great, cool. Well, that'll be the trilogy.
I'm not going to sit here and ask you questions. You're going to ask me questions. And I'm going to have to sit here and
take it. I love it. Oh, my God, yes.
But you know what, man? I got to tell you, you're filthy. But yeah, you said, you know, if it's affecting your growth. And I think what happened was that immediately spoke volumes to me. Because I think it does with relationships, I've dated girls who are like, oh, we're going to play softball with all your friends again. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, your friends are coming over again. Oh, we're there. So it's like, you can't be alone with me. You need your friends around.
Yeah.
And there's truth to it. I feel like I need, what is that? What's going on?
I know, you're
not a fucking therapist.
No. But
you've been through therapy.
No, but I've been through it. I'm happy to weigh in. What I'm saying is that I don't know that there's an exact answer. I think that there are myriad reasons why we are who we are. One of those things, and I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, is the Enneagram, which I would love to dive into at greater length or depth, either in this conversation or later. But
right.
I think that's – the Enneagram, by the way, for anybody who's wondering, is kind of a – it's like a cross between the Zodiac and the Myers-Briggs. It's like – it is both deeply spiritual to many, many people. It's also like – some very textbook psychology, literally, and it's all tied into the same kind of thing. You can go and Google it, Enneagram, Enneagram.
When did you discover this?
I discovered it actually, ironically, or about 2 months before I ended up in super intensive therapy, and then the life coach that was a part of all of that brought up the Enneagram, was like, have you ever heard of it? I was like, yeah, randomly a friend of mine had the app on their phone and I took the test and she goes, what number were you? And I said, I was a 7. She goes, yep, I would have called it as soon as you walked in the room. And then got a couple of different books on the Enneagram and learned so much about what it is in there. And also because I actually do subscribe to it more, I will say I subscribe to it more and then I subscribe to Zodiac or to numerology or to Myers-Briggs.
I don't know anything about this stuff. But what I will tell you, and I want you to finish, the only reason before I forget this thought, which I think I forgot, is that, you know, if I go online, Zach, and I look up psychopath, characteristics of a psychopath, you know, I'm pretty much, I go, wow, mom has 15 of 20. But if I go on there, I'm self-diagnosing myself. When you're talking about this thing, you say I'm a 7.
Yeah.
You being a 7.
Yeah.
How are you sure you're a 7 and you're not just thinking you're a 7?
No, because look.
Is that a good question?
100% a great question. What I would say is I'm not somebody who's easily deluded. I have gone through my life and learned various things from people in places of authority in my life, specifically my parents or schooling or society or whatever, that have definitely conditioned me to have certain beliefs. I have tried my darndest throughout my life to challenge every single one of those things and try and get to the root of actual truth. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that gravity, the thing that we all know, that if you drop something on this planet, it falls at a particular rate based on its mass and velocity and yada, yada, yada. That is a truth. That is, you know what the truth to me is? I genuinely believe Because as a spiritual person, I do believe in a creator, right?
I believe in a creator.
Sure. Okay. Okay. And some people think that the creator is the universe itself, or give it different names or whatever. But let's, at the very least, to be able to at least agree that there is that entity, whatever that is, right? Right. That intelligent designer.
Yes.
This is the Matrix. This is there. The coding of this reality, let's say, includes something like gravity. That's in the code of what it is. And to me, the code is the truth. And I think that there are things literally within our own souls that know the code. You know when someone is being authentic to you. You know, I mean, hopefully, obviously we can be deceived as yes. well. But you know when you feel like when somebody is being...
they want to get something from you.
Yes, when they have ulterior motive. Like yeah. there's... How do you explain that? Other than there is a disturbance in the force. There is a glitch in the Matrix. There is that kind of, you know, that deja vu, that black cat that you see twice and you go... I'm feeling something here. But what is that? What is that feeling yeah. other than something connected to what I believe to be some kind of spiritual realm or dimension, if you will? And there is a code that's been programmed and we can then feel each other and know each other. And, you know, there's all kinds of other examples of how human beings have been able to communicate and even within and within our own body, like monks who are out in the freezing cold and they put a wet blanket on them and they heat the blanket up with their own body so much that the entire blanket dries and now they're warm in that blanket. Like the things that even our body is able to do, and how are you able to do that if it's just the physical world? If it's just only actual brass tacks, ones and zeros, binary, this is what it is. So I think to that extent there is a code, and I try to find what I believe to be actual objective truth. I hope we can all journey there.
Well, didn't Tom Hanks search for that? Oh, that was Da Vinci Code.
How long were you listening to what I was saying?
You know what? I didn't until you said code.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
No, it's fascinating.
I said code a long time ago.
You said
as soon as you said code, so like last 3 minutes of my rambling?
I believe in all that. Look, I have a lot of friends who are atheists. I have friends who are, they say they're agnostic. I don't see how someone's atheist. I think you have to have, it's sad to think that, like, I'm not saying.
Didn't we talk about this last
time? Yeah, but I think, you know, you have to have faith in something. I just feel like you have to have faith in something. Otherwise, why are we here? Just to be?
I'm
not saying I'm a religious person. I'm not saying I go to church or I go to a temple or.
Sure.
Do you go to church?
I did for a lot of my life, man. I went to church a lot, and I don't necessarily have anything
against it.
Church,
right.
In fact, I mean, like my journey started in and still remains for the most part within, I guess, the lineage of or world of Judeo-Christianity. Like I grew up in a Christian home. My mom was a Christian. My dad is a Christian. My stepdad, my grandma, like my mom's family on that side was Catholic, but that's still in the same line. You know, it's you're growing up with a lot of the same biblical stories and tenets and values and morals and all that kind of stuff.
And it's easy for people to believe when you're a kid, you believe everything your parents tell you.
Yes, because that is literally your touchstone of what is reality and what is true.
Yeah.
And what's unfortunate is that
they're not
they
right.
don't. They are not right a lot of the time, but we have to be able to, like we also talked about in the last time, we have to be able to forgive them that because they didn't know better, because they learned from their parents who didn't know better, who learned from their parents who didn't know better. We have to forgive.
Inside of You is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. This is an amazing platform. I use it on both podcasts. It has worked wonders for me. It's so amazing how easy it is to navigate. If you want to sell products, t-shirts, soap scents, whatever it is, Ryan, you want to sell, this is the way to do it. You could see what your bestseller is right there, analytics, how much you're making this month, what products are selling the best. It's really fantastic. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way.
Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inside, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inside now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/inside.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And also, I will say, your developmental stages are, you know, that those ages of
four
through 10, whatever they are, at a young age. And if you are abused physically, mentally, molested, they alter the course of your life in a way that no one can possibly understand unless they've been there. And when that person goes to that dark side, it's not because they were born evil. It's because of all the things they saw around them growing up and witnessed, and that's what they thought.
Like if you look at like an aluminum can, almost right, like a perfect aluminum can. It's right out of the factory, and it's smooth, and all the lines are perfect.
Pepsi great. Red Bull.
Hey, come on, maybe it's a squirt.
Red Bull tastes like a laser.
Maybe a dad's root beer.
It's a dad.
Hey. So
by the way, Tyler goes, I was listening to you and Zach's first podcast together, and you guys just went on about Harry Carey.
Yeah, I don't even know who Harry Carey is, but I've heard you do Harry Carey 40 fucking times. I've heard you do it at least 10.
Are you 18? How old are you,
I'm
sir?
25.
25.
He's young.
This was somebody from the 60s, I'm guessing.
No, I mean, he was still announcing into the 90s, wasn't he?
I mean, he was, but he was in the 60s.
He's not wrong, man. Totally wrong.
But look, I agree with you to a point, but it's very hard to... I had this conversation with Dax Shepard on a plane where it started to get heated, where he was talking about mental illness, and I was like agreeing, but I was also saying sexual molesting. Yeah. Jesus, I can't speak. But, you know, as a kid, there were some things that happened to me that, like, I dodged some bullets, and I remember the feeling I had as a child, so scared, so nervous, what's going to happen? And I wasn't even molested, but it was close. Like, I almost, like, I escaped. And I could tell you that story all the time. And I will say that now when I hear these stories, I can relate to that scared little boy or girl that is just, that's going through that in a small way where I'm like...
Oh, look, I was molested when I was a kid by another kid, and the ramifications of that have followed me throughout my entire life, literally introducing me to sex at a time when...
You shouldn't have been introduced
to it. Yeah, you shouldn't be introduced.
How old were you?
About 5, I think, 4 or 5, something like that.
It's amazing. Most people...
We just moved back from... Oh, what?
Most people can't remember what they did when they were 5, but you...
I have vivid memories starting around 3 or 4. I mean, I don't remember all of it, but I mean, I have very vivid, tangible memories. And also, you know, I have to always, assume that there could be some romanticizing in my own brain, you know, like, do you really remember moments exactly the way, even as an adult, do you remember a moment exactly how it went down? Or do you have there's all kinds of studies on this kind of, you know, you remember somebody wearing a black suit when they were wearing a blue suit or whatever. I don't know. I'm not professing. I know everything that happened to me exactly when I was a child, but I know what happened to me.
It's
when
so
I was
crazy
a child.
You said that because I've never really talked about this, but the same thing happened to me. It was another kid.
Oh, so they did have
And I never have talked about it, yeah. But now that you've talked about it, I feel like, oh, fuck it.
This is the first time we talked about it.
I think this might be the first time that I've talked about this, wow. Like on this. But, you know, I talked to my therapist about it. I go,
Oh, so you've talked to these therapists
yes,
about it.
Okay, yes, okay, Yeah. And yeah. I said, has this affected me? And he looked at me and said, no. It didn't affect you. Because the person was so, it was young, you were both young. It's hard to explain because you looked at me like, wait, what are you saying? What I'm saying was they weren't old enough to think, they were a teenager. I was young. We were similar in age. It was, you know, but it felt like, I was like, but this was still wrong. This was still something that I blocked out for many, many years. And then I told him about it and I really wanted him to tell me, yeah, you're fucked up because of this. And he said, you're not. It didn't affect you.
Wait. I mean, but that's a big
statement.
Well, it's a big statement, but it's also a big spectrum. Like, you might not be fucked up by it, but I'm sorry, I don't agree that you weren't affected. Every single thing that happens in our day affects us.
What I'm saying is, how old was the person that, you know?
I mean, I think that kid was like 2 years older.
So it was a 7 and a 5 year old.
I think what my therapist was saying was an exploration.
It was more of like,
well, yeah,
not except, on my behalf. Yeah, but, I didn't want to explore.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, though, is that I think that this kid, I mean, I think that his, looking back on it with the mind that I have and the heart that I have and the understanding that I have throughout my life, clearly that kid was being molested by somebody in his life. The way that all of that went down and the way that how it affected me then, even after that, like, yes, sure. At young ages, kids are exploring and doing things. And that's totally understandable. I don't feel like it was an adult, you know, being a predator on me.
Right.
And I never even judged the kid, but my mom freaked out.
See, nobody knew about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
nobody
yeah.
Nobody knew about this.
Yeah, so there was all kinds of effects. I mean, even if nobody knew about it, it still would have an effect on
me. And when I say I blocked it out, I just didn't think anything was like, I was so young that I didn't think anything was wrong with it. So all of a sudden, I'm like 30. One day I just go, hey, that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Wait a minute, that happened. Wow. Why do I remember that now? It was the craziest fucking thing. I mean, and do you think you were affected or do you?
Oh, I definitely was affected. I mean, that compounded by all of the other issues that I was going through held and carried throughout my childhood and having a psychologically abusive mom because she was psychologically abused and all of the ways that manifested in my life as a kid and with my sisters and my stepdad who was also an abused. I guaranteed he was abused when he was growing up, and then he became an abusive person when he was older. And I wouldn't change any of it now at all because now I'm on the other side of it and can look back on it and actually appreciate the fact that it brought me to being healthy or in a journey of being. Sure. I'm not saying I'm completely, you know, absolved and this is all good and I'm like, you know, whatever, level 9 or whatever. I'm just saying, I've now gotten to the other side of what that darkness that wanted to kill me was doing. And I was able to pierce through and love of friends and family and the tools that I learned in all that therapy to get through that darkness. And then from the other side of the darkness, be able to look back and go, oh yeah, shit. Yeah. All that happened and all of it led me to here. And I'm grateful for all of that stuff that led me to here because now on this side, I get to talk about all that. Now we get to talk about that. Now we get to be a testimony to what that darkness was and how that darkness wanted to take us down and how we can get through that. And hopefully there are people out there and not even hopefully, I know that they are because I've seen the tweets that we're both added on of the people who listened to our last podcast
resonated.
So it's unbelievable.
It means so much to me because I had no idea. Man. And you, I know it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, man.
I think that's why you're back. That's why it's like, you know, I wanted you to come back because there was a connection. There's a connection with the audience where it just feels like it's two guys talking about real shit and like, you know, we're not thinking about what we're saying.
But that's your podcast in general. Everybody.
Well, I try to do that.
I mean, bro, I've listened to many of your episodes, Kristen Bell, Dax Shepard, Topher Grace. You allow people a safe space to talk about their lives. And I think that's a really, I mean, look, part of it is you're one of us, you know what I mean? It's like, you understand, you're going to be able to, like any great, you know, it's like Jimmy Fallon or James Corden, or, you know, they've been on, they understand that side. They're trying to make it a place that's safe where you can talk about shit. Unfortunately for them, unfortunately for you, you're doing a podcast that's literally called Inside of You. So we get to drop.
And they have like
bombs and get real and
they
talk
have
eight, about.
They have 7 minutes. They want to talk about the product.
And it's anecdotes.
Middle America's watching, and they can't be dirty. Sure, but look, you know, when you talk about your darkness, and we've talked about it, when you say you were solo and you did all these things and you went to a place.
Yeah.
You went to a place that saved your life. And I don't think we talked about that, did we?
I don't think we probably got into much of the detail of that. But yeah, essentially.
How low? Like, when I'm saying low, was it like, is that you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't like you and I want to jump off a bridge?
That was, well, that I don't like you was most of the time.
Yeah, I think that's
most of my life. I didn't realize that was abnormal until I went to therapy, until one of my therapists was like, I was talking about the various things that I was upset with about myself and where I felt like I was a failure. I mean, basically, I ended up in all of that because I thought I was completely failing my life and all of the blessings I'd been given and the position I'd been given and the platform and the privilege. And I should have accomplished more. I hadn't accomplished more. I was on the outside looking in, and I would always be on the outside looking in and given all of this opportunity and possibility, and I failed it. And no matter all of the things.
You always felt like a failure?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Because and again, I didn't understand this until I went through therapy, where you look back through all of the mental illness. You look and you go, oh, whoa. That's why I felt like a failure. That's why I would shit all over myself when I would do the smallest thing that I thought was the wrong thing. And I, by the way, would take forever to even make a decision a lot of the time, because I became very accustomed to, growing up in my household, my mom was a borderline personality with narcissistic tendencies. My mom needed... She was so bereft of her own self-love and self-worth and had no idea how to feel it other than to try to extract it out of other people. And often that came down to being abusive, because if you could thrash and hurt, then people will go, oh, you must be really hurt. Oh, let me, now I'll come love you. Now I'll come love you. And then when you learn that's how you get love now.
It's manipulative, maybe.
100, bro. Like, totes 100. It's that, but they Shit. Don't even, but they don't even know it, right? So my mom, as a borderline personalities are, it's like, if they're in a good mood, nothing can go wrong, and if they're in a bad mood, nothing can go right. Let's say, you know, these are just kind of very, you know, gross general examples, but if I were to talk to my mom and she's like, oh yeah, you want to bring food home for us to eat tonight? Cool, great. Anything in particular? No, you know, just grab whatever. And that was at, let's say, 3 p.m. Then by 7 p.m., if I showed up with Chinese and she was in a bad mood or not in a good place, it was, you fucking, like, why would you bring China? Why? This is the stupid, you know, it was nothing but you failed. And by the way, my stepdad,
Jesus,
was not a borderline personality, but my stepdad was like, his father was a ein, zwei, drei, like whipped him into the life that he lived, which ended up being, he was like a prodigy violinist and insane guitar player and piano player, still is, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Was he abusive?
Brilliant man. He was abusive in that the standards he lived under when he was growing up are the standards that he applied to me and my sisters, and they were impossible. Impossible. They were so, so, so high. So my stepdad provided this level that was impossible to ever reach. Like, I remember the first time I made my stepdad laugh, and I was somebody who made everybody laugh because I was a spazzy, fun kid who like doing Urkel and yes, exactly. Dude, bro, I'm telling you, like, there's a lot
so many similarities. So yeah.
But I, you know, I just like to entertain people and everything. And my stepdad was impossible to please. And I remember the first time I made him laugh, and it was like everything. It was everything. I couldn't believe that I made him laugh. And my mom was a fucking slob and my stepdad was super OCD. That led to all kinds of tension in our house, including like us kids who learned from our mom. And so we would leave our shoes by the front door or whatever, we'd leave in a place and my stepdad would flip the fuck out, man. He would just flip out like, what are these shoes doing here and all that, you know? And these are us three kids who are growing up in this house that, by the way, you know, just for the record, just to throw it out there, I think that stepdads can tend to be, or at least up to this point in history, get a really fucking rough job because you end up being called in to support a family that oftentimes you don't even have a say in. You know, the kids are going to run back to mom and say, I don't want to do what this new guy is telling me to do. And then the moms, being maternal, want to protect their kids. And my stepdad, like, his situation was untenable. It was gnarly. But regardless, no excuse to his behavior. But, you know, he was an aggro guy because he was so high wound. Like, he was an architect and an audio engineer and a crazy, incredible musician and all. Like, he was brilliant, as was my mom. But my mom was brilliant in all these other ways and was also, like, completely a mess in her heart and in her head and didn't realize it. And I had untenable, like, never going to reach heights bars that my stepdad set. And then I had untenable because it's a moving target bar from my mom. You don't know if bringing Chinese home is going to make her happy or piss her off, depending on the mood that she's going to be in when you get home. And this all got worse and worse and worse as we get older. And, you know,
do you think, like, when let's say you watched, obviously not now, you're better, you've been working on yourself for a long time.
Oh man, but yeah. The last year and a half has saved my life. Well,
okay,
sure.
So let's say rewind to right before the last year and a half.
Sure.
And you're watching an episode of Chuck, or you're watching an episode of something you've been in, or whatever. Can you look at yourself then and go, God, look how great you are? Did you feel like you were overcompensating with, aren't I great? Aren't I great? Were you like that at all? Because I felt like I was like that for a long time. Like, what'd you think? What'd you think, Dad? What'd you think, Dad? What'd you think that? Because my mom was sort of like that, where she was like, aren't I a good writer? Am I pretty? Am I pretty? And my dad was like, finally, he got to be passive aggressive, where he was like, yeah, you're so pretty, Julie. Yeah, we all think you're so pretty. Because he was pushed to, like, it was like a colander, my therapist said, where it's like water goes through a colander. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just keeps going through. So she never, the sustainability of like
her worth,
yeah. And I think that I dealt with that, and I've dealt with that a lot. I think I still do, but I've been working on that.
Well, but following up on that metaphor, and this is why self-love is so important. It's I think maybe the most important thing. I think all of mental health can be rooted to starting at least in part by some deficit in someone's understanding of themselves and love of themselves and worth of themselves. When we can know, love, and appreciate and be patient with ourselves, that's when we quite literally fill all the holes of that colander and make it a bowl. And then when people are being genuinely kind and loving and supportive, it's not just going through us. We can receive it. You can hold it. You can believe it because you already believe it yourself to begin with.
Do you hear this, Tyler? He's pretty bright. Like, he could be a therapist.
I appreciate all that. Well, but if you're out there looking for professional help, go and seek professional help. Inside of you is a place for us to talk to you and point you to that, and the things we talk about here,
and what helps us,
yeah, 100%.
What helps us might not help you, but it might make you understand that you're not alone. That's the most important thing.
Exactly.
That's the most important. And Zach, which comes to my next question,
which brings us to my next question.
Yeah, yeah. I had tequila.
Say it. Just say it.
I think you and I have both had. And look, we can edit this if you want. I think this is just honest.
No, it's not.
You're a good-looking guy. You've been out with many women over the course of your life. You've had relationships. You're better looking than me, but I've also had relationships. I've been. What are you nodding your fucking head, Tyler?
No, Tyler's it's
like,
true.
Yep, it's true. But I mean, I have the potential. I have to darken my hair, get a little buff. No, but what I'm saying is,
you stupid.
So I can't, like. What, people look at me and they go, why are you single? And I look at you and I go, why are you single, Zach? And do you think maybe more than ever that you are ready to finally, like, to be? Because, look, I know you answer that question. And then I want to ask you another
question. I'll tell you when I know that I'm ready.
Okay.
I'll tell you when I'll know for sure that I'm ready for that relationship.
What woman are you looking for?
No.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter, but the area of my life that I've always struggled with, always doubted, was always like, I don't know that it's going to happen, was my love life. I always was like,
me too.
You know, my
I still struggle with it.
My dad married my mom. They divorced. My dad never even dated another woman after my mom. My dad is still a just rolling solo dude, never dates women. He's also an interesting cat in his own right. And my two uncles who grew up with my mom under my grandma, who psychologically abused all of them, those two bachelors pretty much lifelong. My one uncle, Tim, he got married for a hot second. It was very similar to kind of what happened with me and my ex-wife. And that didn't work, and they parted ways. And they've tried. Mike and Tim have both tried, but the abuse that they suffered literally under my grandma was gnarly, and particularly how it affects their ability to then go and relate in relationships. As I was afraid that it was doing the same thing to me, and it was doing.
Were you, because you were comparing everything, every red flag to, oh, that reminds me of my mother.
No,
oh, that it
no,
wasn't that.
No. I don't think it's that obvious. I think, you know, Carl Jung was kind of the first, I believe, to really tap into the concept that we marry our parents. You might think that you're like, oh, that reminds me of my parent. I'm gonna veer away from that. You're not. You're unless you do the work, the deep healing work in you, you are going to be attracted to qualities to a relationship that you feel like you need to satisfy, you need to fix, you need to make whole. And when we have broken relationships with our parents, particularly guys to their moms and girls to their dads, that's why you have mommy issues and daddy issues and all that kind of stuff, and why you attract what you should not be attracting, and why that person is attracting you when they shouldn't be attracting you. All of that
Jesus
is tied. All of that
Christ.
Is tied to that, bro. Yeah, all of that's tied to that. So, there are a lot of reasons why I had a lot of doubt in all that. Then I went and did the most important work I ever could have done in my life, which was loving myself, learning to love myself, learning to truly understand the depths of who I was, to forgive myself, to allow myself to have erred so many times in my life, knowing that that wasn't because I ever meant to. It was because I got bad fucking programming, man. This is what we get. We have got to accept the fact that you get a certain operating system downloaded into you throughout your life, and we have to accept that, you know what? We all need a fucking update, all of us. Some people only need, like, you're at, like, version 4.5, and you need to go to 5.0.
I'm at, like, ColecoVision right now.
You might be. You never know.
I need to
You never know. But that's what good therapy helps us to do, to reprogram what is fucked up. Going back to the aluminum can, you start as a nice, smooth, undented aluminum can when you're born, and throughout your life, you're just getting dinged and dinged and dented and dented and dented. You're still there. You're the can. But look at how mangled you are. That's your ego holding you and protecting you through all that time. And what we need to do is literally just stomp on that aluminum can and throw it in the recycling bin, because that's the ego that's there to help you survive, and you don't need it anymore. Now what you need to do is go and actually be in touch with who you really are and love who you really are.
Before it's
and
too fucking late.
And accept who you really are before it's too late. My mom.
Yeah.
It was too late for my mom before she passed away. But having done all, well, continuing to do all of that, it's a lifelong process. You're never out of it, nor should we be. You should always be in touch with where you're at in your heart, in your mind, in your body. And you should always be valuing it. And you should always be working toward being, I believe, the healthiest, strongest, most efficacious version of who you can be in this world to make it a better place. And if we all do that, it's going to be super fucking groovy, I promise you. But to be able to do that work and continue to do that work, and on the other side of that now, I think I'm finally in a place where I'm not genuinely worried about my romantic life anymore, and I believe that I will be ready. I'll know that I'm ready.
When there she presents.
As soon as it, I know that I've met her.
He or she has presented.
In my case, she, but yes, okay, yes. In other people's situations,
I just didn't want to assume that. it's totally fine.
Yeah.
We're in a world where we can.
I know.
Yeah. It is.
As a heterosexual man.
Okay, so you are heterosexual. We've got that. Because I was thinking about it right now. I was like, Zach, maybe I'm the one.
I mean, maybe. You were looking at me longingly.
Well, Tyler,
Michael does ask every guest this question though when they come on.
What if
he definitely needs? Well, you just definitely need to confirm everybody's sexuality, and you have like a chart, you know, that you keep. It's kind of disturbing a little bit.
No.
No.
Who do I think is who have I thought was gay?
Well, I was joking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody thought I was gay for a very long time. In fact, a lot still do.
A lot of people think that about a lot of people. I mean,
it's fine. I'm comfortable with my sexuality. That's one thing I'm comfortable with, my sexuality. But you know, I don't get weirded out by stuff like that. And I think I do look back and I go, you know what, thanks, Mom. One of the few things I will thank you for. Just like she was never homophobic. She had a gay friend who had AIDS, who we didn't even know what that was back then, who worked at the grocery store. She had an African-American friend in this little southern town. She was very liberal. She was pro-choice.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just like, and all these things that were maybe seemed embarrassing at the time because everybody else was looking at her like...
Embarrassing to whom? To her?
Well, no, like people around, like your mother, like to me in high school.
Oh, embarrassing to you.
Your mother's liberal. She's pro-choice. She's this. She's that. I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop writing articles. But like, those are the things that I do look back and I go, well, thank God I had that upbringing where my parents were liberal like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we learned to love. Like,
I know it sounds so fucking hippy-dippy trite, but like all you need is love. Like,
love is all you need.
Love is all you need, bro. Like, for real, for real. I'm not saying... on a technical level, that's true. But on a kind of broad philosophical level, I really do think it's true. I think that if we genuinely can learn to love ourselves, first and foremost, to see ourselves in a mirror, to accept ourselves for who exactly we are in this moment right now, not being affected by the social paradigms and pressures and comparisons and all of the things that fuck us up on a regular basis, particularly when it comes to social media. And we can finally just say, none of that has any bearing on my worth as a human being. My worth as a human being is dictated quite literally by the fact that I am. I exist. I am here. Life itself, going back to something you were saying earlier, dude, I think that what we need to do, I want to create a new baseline of what is agreed upon truth and agreed upon philosophy as we move forward as a people. The baseline ought to be, now that we live in a world that's completely connected by the internet, by news, by television, by satellites, by travel, by all of it, we don't live in a world that's all segmented and disparate. We don't live in the 1300s where the people in Europe had no idea that China even existed until Genghis, because that's how you pronounce his name, as I came to find out in another podcast called Hardcore History. But Genghis Khan going and literally dominating making the Mongolian Empire, and then somebody like Marco Polo going, what's going on over there? There's people over there? Like, that wasn't that long ago in the course of human history, right? And we live in a world where we're all connected, whether we like it or not, which means we can all galvanize to start fighting for what is and should be baseline fucking truth. If we don't do that, we're not going to make it. If we do that, you know when people talk to you and they say adages like, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like that. Which, by the way, I fully believe in. And case in point, I wasn't able to handle a blessing like Shazam until I went and did the very, very...
You would not have been able to handle it?
No, I don't. I believe no, because I think that's part of the reason why I hadn't been given that opportunity. I really do believe that that was God.
Wow.
Protecting me from me. You know, unless you've worked out enough and gotten strong enough and healthy enough, you can't go lift certain amounts of weight. You could say, yeah, put fucking 200 pounds on this thing. And all of a sudden you're not prepared. You're crushing mentally, emotionally, physically, all of it. Going and getting the healing that I got in my heart, 100% without any question in my head or in my heart, the Shazam came from that, from going and doing that work and healing myself so that I could then go and be a more complete person to go and create that character and go champion the movie on the press tour and all of it.
You did this last time you came on.
What?
You did that. Well, you say something so profound and it makes me think I need to do what Zach did. He's figured it out. Even though you're figuring it out, I know you don't want to take all the credit. Like, look, we're all figuring it out. But I think there's definitely that feeling of, for me, that I need to go before I could be the best person I could possibly be.
Sure.
I need to really love myself. I need to really find out.
Yes.
You know, I do think I can be a great person at times. I think I innately am a good person. I think, you know, do I say the right thing all the time? Am I patient? I'm not very patient all the time. Do I, you know, I'm very thoughtful, but sometimes I can't be. I'm impatient. There's all these things. I said,
you have to, hey, Michael, you have to forgive yourself. You have to accept yourself. You have to, you have to give yourself a break.
I know.
None of us is conditioned to do that.
How do you do that? How do you give yourself a break?
Acknowledging that you are of worth.
But how do you do that? You went somewhere.
I went somewhere and I got literally all of the things that I talked about before. And it was an exorbitant amount of...
Therapy, of...
But also like stupid expensive, and something that somebody like only in a positions like ourselves are able to afford, which quite honestly, I left something like that. And I've recently bought, we've talked about this. I bought this property out in Texas to go build a film studio. That's also kind of a resort or whatever. I don't know. It's going to be a commune. I don't know what it's going to be ultimately, but you're welcome anytime.
I'll be there.
One of the things that I left that therapy with was, this isn't fair to get healing, at least where I got it, in a place that is unattainable for most people. So what I want to do, I was so empowered. Like, I leave in there, I was like, fantastic. I've got 75 acres in Texas where I'm going to go build these festival grounds. And I want to create a place where we have literally just deep therapeutic spiritual retreats where people can come and get healed and go live better lives. Dude, if I do nothing else in my life but invest in the futures and the hearts and the minds and the lives of other people to give them a better opportunity to go live better lives and go make the world a better place, I'll be fine. I'll be happy. I love that I get to do what I do. I love that God has given me such an incredible platform to go and do all the things that I get to do. And I love being an actor. I love entertaining. I love making people laugh and bringing joy. And dude, Shazam, what an incredible thing. It's doing well and the reviews are good. But more than all of that is looking at the responses that I see on social media where people say, I have not had that much fun in the movies, in a movie theater in years. I feel joy. And I go, fuck, yes, this is one of the biggest reasons I got into what we even do, to go and bring joy. But more than that, if I really want to bring joy, if I can go help people heal, then they can really feel joy. Then they can really feel love. When we can love ourselves, then we can really go love other people. When we can take care of our situation, get the healing that we need to get, then we can really help other people heal. And if we've done the work for us, on us, and healed in that same way, that then I think the blessings and those other things can come to us as a people. If we can, I think the same paradigm might also apply to us as, quite literally, the human race. If as a human race, we can come together and we can figure this shit out and we can stop hating each other and stop dehumanizing each other and seeing each other and loving each other and seeing the life that is across from us in the eyes of somebody who might have been your mortal enemy before, but you've realized we didn't know better. We didn't know better. We have to collectively forgive. And if we can do that and we can start moving forward, bro, it's Star Trek Next Generation. We're literally going to be spaceships, warp drive. We're going to have replicators. We're going to have holodecks. We're going to be visiting other planets.
I agree.
It's going to be bomb as fuck, because I think that's when we as a people show we're able to handle the new cool shit. Let's have the new cool shit. We can't handle the new cool shit right now.
Did you see Bob Lazar, the documentary on Bob Lazar?
No.
That's just cool. On aliens and shit.
It's just cool.
If you listen to things and just try to be a better person, and you make me want to be a better person. So listening to you, I start to think, my mind starts to wander. I think I want to go to this ranch.
Yes.
But by the way, and if I could afford the place you went to before, I do need to do that, because I think I need to take a little time, because look, things are always, knock on wood, I feel like you know, people are always like, how are you doing? What are you up to? And I think that's always the big question where you're always concerned about the answer. You're like, oh, I have to say that I'm doing so much. And I do feel like I do a lot. I'm always writing. I'm always doing these things. But, you know, I think that I keep so busy with so much in my life that I don't focus on those really important things, like myself. Because I fly to see my grandfather who's declining from Alzheimer's, to say the least, and I fly out there. I'm going there every 2 months to see them. And I talk to my sister all the time, and, you know, I know she had a rough childhood too, and, you know, I'm always there, and I feel like, but I think it's time that, and I'm speaking for all of us out there, is to take care of yourself. Take care, even if it's a day a week or a month or a weekend, I think I need to just learn to be really alone, really learn to be at one with myself, and then you're right. I think... And look, I'm not saying this because the incentive is like, because I want to be in Shazam too. Also, it's because I think I want success on all levels. I want success. I want a relationship that's successful. Yeah, I want to have, you know, I have great friends. I just want to be a better friend, a better person. I think that's why I did the podcast. But I think I also need to work on, you know, myself.
Well, look, I love that this is where we're kind of circling back to, because this is where we started. And we were talking about hosting and, you know, girlfriends. I mean, like, you always want to hang out with everybody else and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what does that say about you? There are myriad things that it says about you or could be saying about you. Some of those things 100% are indicative of needing to love yourself more so that you don't feel the need to be around others or have those other outlets that are feeding your self-worth, that we, particularly as outgoing people who are in the arts and also have a love and a lust for life and for hosting and gathering people, all of those things can get pretty blurry sometimes, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, bro. We're all meant to do different things in this world. That's one, going back to the Enneagram, that's one of the beautiful things I love about it, is that it really lays out a lot of that. We serve society. We serve each other in different ways. We can't all be this personality type or that personality type. We're only going to, it'll be a boring world. We all have different personality types, I believe, for very specific reasons.
Yeah.
And so if you feel compelled, like beyond the need to, you know, and again, it gets gray, but you can figure it out, and you're an enlightened enough person and has gone therapy long enough that you know when you're doing something, you're like, I'm trying to fill
a people pleaser or
I'm trying to fill something.
Yeah.
But you also know the joy that you bring when you bring people together and you offer a safe space for them to enjoy life in a way that they might not otherwise. That is a gift. Don't ever let that shit go. Not everybody is given the opportunity to go and bring joy to other people. And that joy to me is one of the most valuable currencies that we can ever have and trade in our lives. If we can go bring joy to people, if we have a place to gather in, not everybody owns a home. Not everybody has a big enough place to gather 20 or more people, have barbecues, have get-togethers, host birthday parties. My neighbors hated me in Studio City because I loved hosting people.
Yeah, I just loved hosting people.
People needed a place for a birthday. Come have a birthday in my place. You want to?
Yeah.
It's an anniversary. Come have an anniversary. We're hanging out on the weekend. Hang out on the weekend. We had a poker night every Monday, like all that stuff. And I don't regret any of it. Was I using some of that to cover my own deficit of self-worth? For sure. 100%.
Yep.
And that is where you don't do something if it's affecting your growth. That was affecting my growth. But you don't just give up something if it's not affecting you. If you know that you're continuing to grow and become a better, wiser, stronger, healthier, more enlightened person that can do more good in the world and still balance the giftings that you've been given as a person, which have hosting included in them and hospitality in them and fun in them.
Yeah.
People need fun bringers. I love being a fun bringer. I love hosting dance parties.
By the way, what saddens me is, A, this has been
we gotta stop, right?
Interview, but like, I don't even think we can go to dinner now because we're passing that threshold.
I know, that's okay.
You know, but I want to go with you, but I think you got things going on. But listen, I want to say this. Does anybody, have they started writing Shazam 2?
Yeah, they're starting, they're doing it now.
Is that already known?
I mean, it was announced on.
It was announced. I should have known
via the interwebs. Yeah. That.
Are you going to be Shazam? I couldn't even say that.
I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, I think.
Did you have a deal where it's like, you know, you already know how much money you're going to get in the second one if it becomes a success?
Well, there's guidelines. There's rough guidelines.
I want $5 million. This made $100 million already. More than that.
Oh yeah, internationally, yeah, more than that. Yeah.
You folks got to go see it. Look, everybody probably listening has seen it, but you know,
it's, I hope everybody does. Honestly, I know that getting up and going to the movie theaters is
a joy.
It's a chore. Is it?
No, well, fuck chore. I love it if the movie's good.
You're not married and you don't have kids and you don't have to get a sitter. And there's a lot of things that go on. And so I'm saying I know that it's not the easiest thing for everybody to do. What I would say, and I know I'm biased clearly because I'm Shazam in Shazam, but I really believe that it is a movie that brings legitimate
joy. Absolutely.
And if you want to feel that, and I think we all need to feel that, particularly now more than ever in some ways, it's worth the time, it's worth the money, and it's worth seeing in a theater because you get the amplified crowd energy with that, and with a joyous experience that makes the joy like times 10.
Yeah,
it's an even more like genuinely more joyous experience than if you just sit at home and watch it.
I tested for the I read for the Adam Brody part. I didn't do well.
You know, that's the role that I originally auditioned for that they saw and then said, we think you're our Shazam.
Really?
I didn't
get any thought for any other characters. That was it.
Well,
but Peter Safran promised me he's going to try and get me in the second one. I know some people in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you.
Well, I don't know that we know each other, but
dude, this has been an honest to God truth. It always is. It just goes on and on about like.
No, I can't stop talking.
No, but it's life, man.
Mental health is the most important thing we can be talking about right now. Yeah,
I'm going to email you tomorrow.
Yes,
that's the thing. We all deal with the same shit in different ways.
Yeah, totally.
So we just have to all help each
other. Which means we're not alone.
Great messages. The message is we're not alone. You're not alone. I love you, Zach Levi. Love what else you got going? You are on the Magnificent Mademoiselle. What was it called? What the fuck was I watched it.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh my God. You know, I don't know how you did some of those oners, man. How'd you learn your lines?
It was gnarly.
A oner's like, you know, 4 minutes of straight lines, bro.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was amazing. It was an incredible challenge. And I think Amy Sherman-Palladino and Dan Palladino and Rachel Brosnahan and Alex Borstein and Tony Shalhoub and Kevin Pollak. And I mean, it's just a tremendous, and all the department heads, all of the producers, everybody. It's a delight of a show that I got to slip into their jet stream and literally grab a SAG award on the way out. Like, it was just
Jesus
stunning.
Look, you'll come back and interview me within the next year?
100%.
I love it. Tyler, did you have a good time?
For sure.
Thank you, Zach Levi, for allowing me once again to be inside of you.
Oh, man. Once again.
Oh, yeah.
It felt even better the second time.
It really did. It really did. I have so much more I want to hear from you. It's so enlightening. Thank you. Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.